Hola, mi gente. The moment you've been waiting for is finally here. My brand new book, Financially Lit, is officially out. And I can't wait for you to get your copy. Inside this book, I'm bringing you culturally relevant and relatable personal finance advice that will allow you to finally feel seen, heard, and understood. Whether it's the guilt you feel from being the first person to make it while members of your family are still struggling, or the way that financial trauma manifests itself in negative and limiting beliefs around money, Financially Lit is here to guide you through it all. Just a few years ago, it was almost impossible to find personal finance books written for first-generation wealth-building Latinas. We have been forced to navigate the complicated world of money with a bunch of money books written by old white dudes who don't understand what it's like for us first-gen kids. But that stops right here, right now. Inside Financially Lit, you will learn how to set boundaries with your familia, with your dinero, create and pass on generational wealth, diversify and increase your income, protect yourself from financial abuse, navigate the complicated relationship between amor and dinero, invest like a white dude or better, and so much more. You can get your hard copy and audiobook version of Financially Lit at financiallylitbook.com, and make sure to join our email list so you can find out when I'm stopping in a city near you for the Financially Lit book tour. See you soon.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
From the gift bag to just the experience itself, the way that every single detail was made to be luxury. It was made to be beautiful. This is what you deserve. Like, it was made very, very clear that we deserve these things. Nothing was skimped on because we deserve the best. That itself, that message that it sent, was like enough for me to be like, this is why spaces like this are needed.
I now feel and believe that I belong. And that is what I felt at OMA. All of these mujeres telling story, healing, it felt like a comunidad. That's how I think it changed me and what I still carry, that I belong. And even if it's uncomfortable to speak up for myself and to fight these systems, because that's what I clicked with, what you said at the beginning, that now I'm having that empowerment that, like, no, I'm going to speak up and I'm going to tell you what's wrong too. I don't have to be victimized about it either.
You're listening to Yo Quiero Dinero, a personal finance podcast for the modern Latina. I'm your host, Janice Torres, award-winning Latina personal finance expert. I didn't always have my financial shit together, but when I started looking for POC-friendly personal finance podcasts, I couldn't find any. And so Yo Quiero Dinero was born. On this show, I'll show you how to make dinero, how to keep your dinero, and most importantly, how to make it grow. Each week, I'm connecting you with the most brilliant minds in the world of money and business, so you can learn about investing, entrepreneurship, and building wealth. The best part? I'm dishing up all this knowledge with a sassy side of sazón. So if you're ready to be poderosa with your dinero, you've come to the right place. Let's dive in. Before we hop into today's conversation, I want to remind you to follow us on social. If you're loving this podcast and you want more community, you want to find out more about our events and all the stuff that we have going on behind the scenes, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and everywhere else you love to hang out on the internet. If you're loving this podcast, please take a moment to leave us a review if you listen to us on Apple. It's the easiest way to share our podcast with people that you know and love, and it helps us get discovered by amazing listeners like you. So take a moment, leave us a review, share us with your friends and family, subscribe so that you never miss an episode, and make sure to check out our blog, YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com, where you can sign up for our email list and you'll never miss an episode. Plus, you get exclusive invitations to our live events, special discounts for our digital courses, and as always, our best personal finance tips and advice to help you be poderosa with your dinero. Thanks for listening. Now, let's get into the episode. Hola, mi gente. Welcome to another episode of Yo Quiero Dinero. This episode is going to be very special because we're going to be talking about
The Our Money, Our Power Summit that happened in Puerto Rico, 2023, it was my first like large scale. No, it was my first live event in general, because I've done like a lot of virtual stuff. I've gone to other people's events to talk, but I always felt going to events like FinCon and other conferences, both like as a blogger, as a personal finance creator, I just always felt like I was invading somebody else's space versus like coming into a space where that shit was curated and custom designed to like make me feel comfortable. That feeling of not belonging is one of the reasons why we're afraid to enter spaces that we do not feel are for us, like conversations around money. It's why we feel imposter syndrome around achieving things in your career, around building wealth, et cetera, et cetera. And so I have two incredible guests on the show who were actual attendees. And I want y'all to hear their story, right? Because it's one thing for me as like the event organizer to just like talk about how fucking awesome it was. You know, like objectively, it was fucking awesome. And if you were there, you know, like I don't even have to tell you this. But it's another thing to just really get like people's impact. They're not being paid for this. Okay. This is not like a pharmaceutical fucking paid testimony that like you can't believe anything that they say. These are women who like invested their own time, energy to be at this event where they could have been anywhere else in the world. And so I want to talk to them. I want them to tell you what it was like. And as a quick reminder, if you were so silly that you missed this, we actually have the virtual experience that you can sign up for. And it is the 12-hour plus recordings of all of the incredible conversations that we had over the 2 days. I personally think it's like a masterclass in all things finance, and it's incredibly affordable and accessible. So if you want to check out what it was like, all you have to do is go to the episode description and go and purchase lifetime access and give yourself the gift of financial literacy, which is the gift that keeps on giving. So I'm going to shut up now and introduce our amazing guests. I'm going to let them actually introduce themselves. Eileen, let's start off with you. Tell us who you are and tell me what was the first sign for you that like you needed to be at Our Money, Our Power.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm so excited to be a part of this conversation. My name is Eileen Cervantes, and I would define myself as an educator. Not only do I support school counseling departments, but I'm also a school leader coach, and I have many passions and interests, which is why everything Janice puts out there, I'm like all about it because it taps into those interests. I'm a first generation college student. I have two masters and a doctorate, and that's something I'm super proud of because, you know, that wasn't something I saw growing up as far as, you know, within my family and being that person in my lineage. I am very proud of and inspire others to accomplish the same. I'm a mom, and so I have a little toddler. And to be quite honest, like I have entered my 40s, like my late 30s, 40s, wanting to be better, a better version of myself and learn about money. Learn about really taking control of my own life and kind of what's available to me out there. And these were all things that weren't taught directly to me and that I've learned a lot from you, which is why when, you know, I started listening to your podcast from the very, very beginning, was like on it, listening as it was released. I was on that mailing list. I would read your emails. I signed up for any course that you offered as soon as you offered it because I just connected with you. I connected with the way you taught things. I was connecting with you, how you shared your journey and how you didn't hold back. And I appreciated that about you. So I think like as soon as I got that email that said, or even just whatever, what it was, a post or an email that said, I'm going to host a live event, in-person event. I was like, I don't care when, I don't care how much, I'm going to be there. And I think I was like trying to be, you know, I was like, I'm not going to stop because if I let myself overthink it, then I'm going to put all those things in the way when I know that this was something that I know was going to help me and was going to inspire me and was going to be exactly what I needed. So I was like one of the first people that I could purchase.
You really were. I think you might be the first person that actually purchased a ticket. I'm going to go back and verify this, but this is what I love about you and the people who like commit to just becoming a part of my world. Like y'all are some action takers. Okay. Y'all don't play no fucking games. These are people who like literally they know what they want, unapologetic about it, and just like are committed to investing in themselves. It's like a novel thing in our community to like invest in ourselves and like self-educate and like just question systems and question what we've been told and do something different. I love this generation of, like, you know, the millennials, even Gen X. Like, a lot of us are just questioning all the shit we've been told. And we're just like, I don't want to settle for what is good enough. I want to go, I want to be great. I want to excel. I want to be rich. I want to do this. And it's like, we're not apologizing about it. We're not making excuses for why we don't deserve that. We're just showing up in spaces. And that's why I love you, Eileen. Like, I just want to say that, because you've always just been like, hell yeah, about everything. And I'm here for it. Now, Brenda, you have a very unique journey to showing up at Our Money, Our Power. I remember watching your live when you got the notification that you had won free ticket to come to this event. We did a raffle contest. I believe it was associated with, like, giving reviews to the show, and you were selected, and you had this incredible story about how you manifested this entire experience. So can you share that with us and also give us a little intro who you are?
Yes. So my name is Brenda Juarez, and I also go by Bren J, and I work at a one school district from TK to eighth graders, and they all call me Coach Bren. So I also go now, like, if I hear Coach Bren, I'm like turning too. So yeah, I consider myself first. I tell people to, like, I'm a strong and courageous soul, because damn, the stuff that I've gone through to get here, like, it took some strength, it's taken some courage, and it's still building up in me. And I'm also a community coordinator at a local school. I am a certified life coach through Jay Shetty. Like, I'm probably one of the first Latinas that graduated from that. I'm also a mom of two. So there's all of that, and married. And how I manifested this. So I was telling people that when I was 14, if you would have asked me what I wanted to do, I was sworn up and down that I was going to go study in San Juan, Puerto Rico, medicine, and I was going to become a pediatrician, and I was going to come back to Watts, because I'm from Southern California. I grew up in Watts, Compton. So I was like, I'm gonna come back to the hood and, like, help everybody out and blah, 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 right? Things took a turn once I turned, the week after I turned 15, I met an older man, and I talk about this on your sister's podcast, and she helped me heal through that by sharing my story. And that I only tell that story in her place because that was a podcast that I felt safe to share that with. So if y'all want to check that out. But I got into a situationship that I learned with Leanne. I got into a situationship, and it really took a toll on my life till I was like 22. I was able to pull away from this. So that shook with my insides in all the ways, right? I end up in Northern California, from Watts to Northern California, in this little small town. And I finally have, like, what I call, like, the Stars Hollow, or like the Disney kind of community in my eyes, right? And it turns out it's a community located between two tribal communities. And so I'm around a lot of people of color. And so I feel like right at home, even though the majority is still white. Anyways, I learn about Janice, like, through Yo Quiero Dinero, and then also, like, Leanne, and I'm back and forth between the sisters, right? Like, I love both. And then I hear about this contest, and it's like, hey, enter to win or whatever, and you get a free trip to Puerto Rico. And I'm like, I'm 29, right? I'm about to turn 30. And I'm like, what are the chances that, like, I finally, it aligns and I'm going to Puerto Rico, right? The chances were like, dude, I was working. I had just had a baby in August of 2022. This was like April-ish of 2023, right? And, you know, I had, like, gotten really, really into, like, We All Grow Latina. And I started, like, all these, I was doing a lot of stuff with Leanne, did my own virtual summit, and then, like, was planning all of that. And then I have this opportunity to go around a bunch of Latinas that I can, like, see myself in, that talk like me, that look like me. And I'm like, fuck yes, like, this is it, right? And so, like, yeah, I was dealing at a casino, like, literally I'm a dealer, and I would get home at 3 a.m, breastfeed my baby, go to sleep. But I put the alarm because I was like, she's going to announce it at 6 a.m. my time, right, in Pacific time. I'm breastfeeding at that morning too, like, the alarm goes off at the same time. I have the baby, and I look, and it's like these bubble things come out, and it's like, you won. And I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, I hit up Leanne too, and I'm like, is this, like, for reals? And she's like, it's for real, sis, it's for reals. And I was like, oh my God, you know, like, I'm like, damn. Mind you guys, I've never traveled solo in my life. I have two girls now. So then I'm talking to my husband. I'm trying to figure out how to bring them with me, but it just turns out, like, nah, bitch, you got to do this trip alone. And I'm like, okay, so I'm uncovering, unpacking all of that. And yeah, then I'm in San Juan 15 years later and experience it and feeling so safe, feeling so like I'm going to leave here like a fucking millonaria, right? Like, that was how I manifested that. 15 years, but it was worth every fucking year.
That is incredible. And I think it's a good reminder that shit does not happen on your time. It happens when you're ready, when the universe decides that you're ready, not when you think you're ready. Because just like everything that you had going on for all those years, you probably wouldn't have even been able to take advantage of that opportunity if you were in a different space of your life, where you didn't have the support system that you needed, where you didn't have all of the things that manifested that had to happen in order for you to actually be able to show up in a way that you could receive everything that we were going to be ready to pour into. Yeah. So I think that's an incredible testimony. And I just want y'all to remember this story when you think like, shit's not happening when I want it to happen. It's not going to. Let it go. Let's move on. Let's be open to receiving the thing that we want and be open to receiving it when it's supposed to be. And I think back to my own journey too, like as an entrepreneur, I knew what I needed to do as far as like quitting my job and doing all the things, but I was fucking scared. And I've always found myself in positions, whether that's like relationships or jobs or things, where I let fear stop me and then something happens and I get pushed out. I get forced out because it's like, girl, I don't know how many more signs I got to give you. It's time to go. Time to move on. This part of your life has expired. The season is done. And I'm getting better at like recognizing when those transition periods have to happen now before like being shoved out. And so if you're like me, I understand. We're scared of shit. But at the same time, like trust and believe the universe will push you out of your comfort zone when it's time. And that is my rant for the day. Okay. Now let's talk about the first, like the moment you walk into the room, right? Like before you give us kind of what those first sensations, emotions were for you, what did you expect when you signed up for this? And then maybe how did that change when you actually showed up? We'll start with you, Eileen.
I connected with the examples that you shared just around like attending all these different conferences and kind of feeling like, you know, I didn't fit in. And so I didn't know what to expect because I'm like, is this going to be like every other conference where there's a large crowd and then you have to like find different rooms for different sessions? Or what's this going to be like? How many people are going to be there? Like always like wondering, you know, what am I walking into? So I wasn't sure. But what I did know was just from the announcements of who the speakers were going to be and just the reactions you were getting on social media and the people saying they're attending, it just started to really hype me up where I'm like, okay, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but what I do feel like I can feel it, the energy is going to be positive. And I actually like had to kind of talk myself that way and say like, no, it's going to be positive. It's going to be inspiring. It's going to be empowering because, you know, sometimes like we go into spaces, especially with a bunch of women you don't know, you're like, am I going to feel judged? Am I going to feel like sized up? Are we going to be competing against one another? Or is this going to be all love? So I was really like telling myself that, but I didn't know what to expect, but I was really excited to find out.
Yeah. What about you, Brenda? What was your expectation of the event before you actually got there?
I had like feeling expectations, but I do this thing where I keep like, I coach myself every single day. So I can actually like go back to like June. When was this? Like June 9th that I left, right?
Yeah.
So let's see. I'll tell you, because I set intentions, right, for the day. Ooh, there was a lot going on in my head. So Friday, June 9th, it was... Let me see if I can go back to the day that I get to PR safely was the result I was trying to create that day. Arriving in Puerto Rico, damn, this has really been 15 years in the making. It's no coincidence I'm here. Soak it all in, Kiki, because that's what my grandma used to call me when I was little. But Friday, June 9th, networking. That was a result I wanted to create, network and learning at Our Money, Our Power, staying safe and reflecting and intentionally creating content. Those were the results I was wanting to create that day. And today I said, today I gave my courage coin to a woman. Oh, because of someone that I met there, right? I felt this connection and something told me that coin was for her. And then I put networking. It's a little awkward to start conversation. So I felt nervous. And then after like reflecting on it, I said, everyone here has a story and it is no coincidence that we were gathered here on this island, on this, and I underlined island. And so then I felt connection. So that's where I was at that point.
Ooh, I love it. Goosebumps. That's so good. I love the intention setting and just like coming into it with a plan, right? Because I think it can be overwhelming when you're coming to a live event, just like, what should I do? What should I come out with? What should I accomplish? And so just like even something as simple as like making a single connection, adding someone to your network, or just coming out with a piece of information that you didn't have before. It doesn't have to be like you do all the things. I think what I enjoyed most about the conference was the size, the relatively small size of it, right? Because having been to events where, you know, there's like 30 different meeting rooms and a bunch of different tracks that you can be on, and like you almost have to pick and choose what you want to focus on, versus this event was like, we're all in the same room. Everybody's going to get all the same information, and you're going to get not only like premier VIP access to creators that you know and admire, but like, one of the things that cracked me up was people were like, you didn't create like a different section for your speakers to sit in. Like they were able to just sit next to us, and it felt so normal. And I'm like, I hate events that feel like they got the VIP section over here that's roped off with security. And then like they got the commoners right over here where it's just like, you can't mingle with these people, you know, the peasants. Like that shit is so fucking toxic to me. And I've been to events like that. I reject everything about that because it just perpetuates the feelings that we get coming into places where we do feel like we don't belong, like we're not good enough. And so like, what would it look like for me as a creator who knows what it's like to feel like I don't belong in a space, to then create a fucking space where people are literally having that same experience? So when you realize that that was actually the case, that like, this is not going to be that I need to go and reserve a time to like talk to somebody that inspires me, that I can actually like sit next to them and they're just a normal person. Like, what was that like for you to experience, Eileen?
I think that's kind of what made it more comfortable. Like, again, it felt in line with what you put out there. Like, it just made us feel like this is attainable, you know, that we're all people at the end of the day. Like, we're all sitting in this room together. We're all learning from each other, regardless of who's on the stage or not. At first, I was like, oh, shit, that's like, I follow them. Like, I see them post content. And I'm like, they're like right there. And even like just the book signing opportunity at the end too, like just having that experience with them and like walking through even after the event, like for the day concluded, and you're walking through the resort and you see them all, like all of y'all just like, you know, having drinks or dinner. And it's just like, I don't know, it just felt like real community. You know, it felt like, you know, everyone there was there for the same reason. Like they wanted to pour into us. And it was clear because they weren't trying to separate themselves from anyone. They were giving us so much to learn from when they were speaking or participating in a panel, but then at the same time, sitting next to us and like asking us questions as people are sharing and joining in, and like they were part of the participants as well. And so it just felt like real community.
I love that. Yeah. One of the things that was so humbling to me was when I asked all these creators to be there, like it was just, nobody said no. You know, and I think that speaks to the relationships that we build here on with the platform, with the show. Like people were just so eager to be a part of it. And they were like, no, I actually want to attend. Like, I'm not just coming here to talk. Like, I want to fucking hang out with people and like make these connections. And that was amazing to watch because a lot of this work was like not compensated. We paid the speakers to do their workshops, but then they just like stayed and they like poured into clients. They were there at the VIP mastermind, like coaching people. And I'm just like, damn, yo, it was such a good reminder of just like, you are the company that you keep, y'all. And so like, if you feel isolated in life and business, you're probably not doing a great job of like nurturing relationships and making them very reciprocal. And maybe that's like a thing that you should start to target as an area of opportunity to improve, because your net worth, I truly believe, is your network. You know, there are spaces and places that can be opened up for you, access that can be granted to you just by nurturing those relationships with people who like really want to champion you and who want to like see the best come out of you. So Brenda, I want to know, when you were applying to win this contest, what was an area of your finances that you were interested in tackling?
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online store shop phase to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dinero, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dinero now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dinero.
I think an area was just, I think, the believing that someone like me could make an impact and make money at making an impact at the same time. Because I didn't get a college degree, right? I dropped out of college after my first year at Sac State University. And so that is something that has always crept up on me with my mind, right? And like, I catch that because I coach myself daily, right? And it's something that is like, ooh, but how are you qualified to help our community? Or how are you qualified to make over whatever? Like the first year that I made 65K at the local casino, because I was already in management position at that point, I think. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I hit this. Like I was making more than my parents had ever made. And I was like, I'm never leaving the casino. Like, this is it. This is the perfect place. I don't need the degree and da da da. But then after almost a decade, like it didn't feel I was serving my purpose. I wasn't helping my community in the way I wanted to help them, but I just hadn't seen it be possible. And so I was looking to like someone that looked like me to be able to tell me like, no, it is possible. It is possible to reach financial freedom. It is possible for you to learn money jargon and all of that. Like, for it's not scary, you know, like usually it's like, I don't know about that. Like even recently I had a conversation with a family member and I told them like I wanted to invest in stocks, and they were like, oh, they laughed and were like, that's tricky stuff. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't waste my money or blah, blah, blah. But I was like, no. And I told them, I was like, I went to Puerto Rico and I sat in a room full of Latinas who were already reaching fire or close to it. So I know it's possible. And I know that maybe for your generation, you didn't have that opportunity to see it, but I'm getting that opportunity. So I'm going to use it. Like, and that was it.
I love it. And you know, that's why I wanted to put together this event, because it's one thing to go to a financial conference and get lots of talks from like white men, because that's what you're going to get, you know, with a sprinkle of a minority here and there, sprinkle of diversity to meet their quotas, whatever. But every single speaker at the Our Money, Our Power conference was a person from a marginalized community. Asian, Middle Eastern, Latino, Black, like all the things you can imagine. Okay. And they were all women. We didn't have a single male speaker there. And we had women talking about investing, financial independence, entrepreneurship, mindset, like everything you could want to tackle with money. We had a conversation about it, even how to write a fucking book. We had women of color authors on the stage. When do you ever see that? And just being intentional about how we structured the event, everything from as simple as like the gift bags. I hate going to an event and getting a bunch of bullshit in a gift bag that like literally has nothing to do with like why I'm there. So we said, we're going to send people home with like 20 pounds worth of books. And we had books from every person who was a speaker there who had a book. We had the book signing. I've never seen anything like it. And I don't think that we can continue as a country, as a community, to say that we care about advancing everybody, you know, to make the American dream accessible and then not support events like this. And one of the things that really pissed me off was like when we were outreaching to corporations, to organizations, push back about like why this matters. Oh, we just don't see why we need to like talk to Latinas specifically. Or, oh, Puerto Rico's not a part of the US. I'm sorry, what? I'm not even going to go there with that fucking conversation. You know, so just like having to continuously justify why this matters, it's exhausting and it's frustrating, but it also reminds me like of how much work still needs to be done. So, Eileen, this question is for you. What do you think is one of the biggest takeaways that you took from the conference, from being there, whether it was a connection that you made, a talk that you heard? Why was this different than like maybe other places that you've gone to or other resources that you've used to learn about money?
Oh my gosh, so much. And it's funny, Brenda, because I also pulled out my journal like from that event, from the event. It's like from in the notebook that you gave out, Janice, at the event. And I was like looking through and I was like, oh my goodness, yes. And so there was a lot. I mean, from the gift bag to just the experience itself, the way that every single detail was made to be luxury. It was made to be beautiful. Like it was like, this is what you deserve. Like it was made very, very clear that we deserve these things. You know, nothing was skimped on because we deserve the best. And that itself, that message that it sent was like, enough for me to be like, this is why spaces like this are needed. I mean, every time I'm in a space like that, and especially during that event, during OMOP, it was a clear reminder of why it's important to invest in community spaces and in community events, because not only do you learn from the actual information given, you learn from everything, the messaging, the design, the feelings, the emotions, what people are sharing. And it's something that I still learn from to this day, something I'm still applying to this day. I wrote this down then and I was reading it now, and I think it applies exactly to what you're saying, is that you weren't just creating an event. It wasn't just an event. And even in that, someone was saying it to you and lifting you up, and you had mentioned it too in one of your speeches, but how you're starting a movement. It wasn't an event. You're creating a movement. I said the community that surrounds Janice is the representation that little Eileen needed and was getting fulfilled now as a grown-ass woman. So it wasn't just an event. And so, yeah, it's hella frustrating to hear you say that around sponsorship, because you weren't just selling tickets. This is a movement. This is what we need. What I needed as a younger person, but that I am now working on unlearning and giving myself that space to move in that direction, to right some of the wrongs that were passed down through generations. And so that's where I feel like I took something from everything, every single note that I took from the people with the words that they said, to what I was hearing, to what I was feeling, to the person I handed tissues to the person that handed me tissue. Like, it was just all an amazing experience that continues to pay dividends.
I'm glad that you mentioned the environment too, that we curated for the event too, because this was a 4-star hotel in the middle of downtown San Juan, luxurious. You know, it's an expensive place to stay, but it's also a place where we do not see ourselves unless you're part of the fucking staff that is cleaning the rooms or that is cooking the food. And one of the privileges that I had as a child was the ability to travel, because my father was a consultant and he would turn a lot of the business trips into family trips. So I got to experience what it's like to see different parts of the world, to be in resorts, to be in hotels, to just be like taken care of by other people, to be in spaces where we were not necessarily, you know, seeing ourselves. And so the intentionality around the resort, around the flower arrangements, around the setup of the room, around everything was meant to, again, normalize the idea that we belong in these spaces, that we belong in places where we're talking about higher elevation discussions, where wealth is normalized, where we don't have to feel like intruders in spaces because we haven't seen ourselves represented. And so it's important for us to put ourselves in environments where we are allowed to feel those feelings of uncomfortability, because that actually is like a muscle that we need to exercise, and just like being okay with being the first, being okay with embracing rest, being okay with embracing the idea that we don't have to work ourselves to death, that building wealth is for us and not just for other people, and that we can do it in community, which is why I think it was so important for me to like just do this, even if it never happens again, which I hope that's not the case. But I felt like I need to just prove that like there's a market for this and that people need this. And it doesn't have to be that we're just like asking an existing organization to just fit us into their little calendar. Like, we're just going to go and create our own shit, and it's going to be what it's going to be. So, Brenda, I want to know, for you, how has this event changed you? What's the one thing that stands out for you as like, you know, even almost a year later now, like this is still with me?
I'm looking at your little sticker because it's on my desk, the Yo Soy Poderosa one. But it's even what you guys are just talking about, belonging. I now feel and believe that I belong. And it's really hard for me as a Latina who doesn't have the degree, working at a one school district right now in a community that's majority Native American and Latinx, and where the staff and the leadership doesn't reflect their student demographic. And seeing the injustices in there and being like, how do y'all have degrees and are quote unquote educated, but you don't understand how to help a child belong? Like, I would assume that if you're going to work with children, like that is like part of your GEs almost. And that's not the case. Like this last week alone, I got to see racism and experience white saviorism and all of this stuff. And I'm like, oh my God. Nothing is changing. And I can see how they so desperately want to get them where they're supposed to be and like fix them. Like, I've literally had teachers and educators tell me like, I'm a fixer and I need to fix. And I'm like, we're whole humans. What? Just because we're of color doesn't mean that we're wrong. We belong. And here in the school district in California, they've been talking about like they've implemented community schools, which is what I do. But I heard this has been going on forever in the East Coast. But, you know, they're teaching empathy interviews and listening sessions and belong circles, all of these things to tell you to like shut up and listen to the person and believe them for what they're telling you to be true and their experience. And that is what I felt at OMAP, right? Like all of these mujeres telling story, healing, like it felt like a comunidad. And earlier I had somebody that I work with. She's a president of a nonprofit that helps Latinx communities here. I'm the vice president of that. So my life has changed in a lot of ways. Let me just give you a quick recap. Since this happened in June, in July, I was offered to apply for a position. So mind you, I used to be the president of the board of this same school district, right? So I used to be on this board. And I served, and then I became president, and then I got pregnant, and it became a lot. So I backed out. And then because I wasn't on the board, I was offered the opportunity to be the community school coordinator. So after OMAP, I come back, I get offered to apply. I apply. That becomes a salary of $49K right there, because I had the courage, because they wanted a bachelor's degree for the person that applied. But because I left OMAP like feeling like, nope, I belong, I'm here, I applied. And I went to this interview and I sat there with these people, right? Like somebody that I was once their boss, now was interviewing for me. And I was like, I don't have the degree, but I'm the perfect person for this role. Like, I live in this community. I've worked in this community. I know what it's like to come from communities of color. Like, I'm the perfect person. And I know that. And like having that confidence, like when would I have ever had that confidence, right? Pero entré like bien, like jefa amor. I came back like, and just everything else, like my partnership with Dramos, with Just Be, like that has expanded so much. So it's crazy that as I am leaving to OMAP too, I built that partnership with Dramos, who's also Puerto Rican, right? And who I was like, when I saw that there was a man there, because we did have a man attend, right?
We did, with his wife. I loved it.
Yes, I was like, Dramos, you could have gone. But yeah, that's how I think it changed me, and what I still carry, that I belong. And even if it's uncomfortable, to speak up for myself and to fight these systems, because that's what I clicked with what you said at the beginning, that now I'm having that empowerment that like, no, I'm going to speak up and I'm going to tell you what's wrong too, you know? And I don't have to be victimized about it either, but like, you know, stand in me. So yeah.
I love it. And both of you were actually part of the extra VIP day, which was an additional investment that you could make in order to be basically hot seat coached by not just me, by incredible array of the panelists who were there as speakers. Aline, can you talk a little bit about how that experience was and maybe compare it to like different types of coaching that you've gotten in the past?
Well, I feel like, first of all, it was a huge release. Like, and I think in that moment, like, the last day, I needed that because I was bringing this all in. And I think a part of me was also maybe even kind of beating myself up a little bit around like, man, I should already be doing this, or just, you know, that internal dialogue that always happens. I remember leaving like at the very end of everything, going up to my room, and my husband happened to like travel with me over there. So he was there. And I was like, that right there was like worth everything. Because I was able to sit there and be raw. Like, it was like I was real, I was vulnerable, but I felt safe enough to do that with people that I had just met like 2 days prior, and with all of these people that I really look up to and learn from on their social media content, from their books, and just from learning from them from those days. And I felt like it was a crash course. I haven't really had a lot of formal coaching until the pandemic. That's when I started like realizing all of this stuff existed. You know, we were all at home. There was a lot of more things going virtual. So it was a lot more, you know, accessible, or I was looking for it. So I was able to find it. By the time of the VIP, yes, I had formal coaching, and it was very much helping me receive that coaching I received on the VIP day. But on the VIP day, it was like all sorts of things. It was like what I was getting caught up on, like getting really clear on the next steps I wanted to do in my business, getting really clear on what to do with my next steps of, you know, my career. Because I was also coming back to a job offer for a new 9-to-5 that was something that was I would have always wanted, balancing the business. And so I just remember it being super raw, super real, and I felt like they all saw me without even really having known me for that long. The questions that were being asked were tapping into what I needed. I remember crying a lot.
Like, there was crying. A lot of tears in that room.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I remember ugly crying where I'm like, the cameras were still there. And I was like, oh my gosh, did they stop this? Because it was a release, and it was a release that needed to happen. And not all releases, you know, are bad. Like, this was like a good one where I'm like, yes, like I needed that. And it really, it hit the soul.
Yes, absolutely. There was so many emotions in that room. It was very cathartic, I would say, if that's the word I could use to describe it, because there were people tackling all types of things, right? It just mindset stuff. Some women were talking about the lack of supportive partners, or like, how do I let go of the mom guilt? How do I start putting myself first? We had conversations about what it's like to carry the burden of being a breadwinner as a woman, what that means. How do you redefine those gender roles? There's just so much shit that comes with being a woman pursuing wealth. We did not see examples modeled of women in our lineage, like just being the breadwinner of starting businesses, of owning real estate, of building wealth. And it's just like, we're having to forge these paths that do not exist. And how can we have conversations in a place that's like safe and that is culturally competent if we do not have these conversations ourselves? Like Chad, who has come from generational wealth and owns $3 trillion of real estate, is not going to be able to give you advice that is relevant to you as a first generation wealth building woman who is literally charting a new fucking path. That's why the books like The Rich Dad, Poor Dad and The Millionaire Next Door, blah, blah, blah. Fine. Great. If that's the gateway to get you to start thinking about money, I don't have a problem with that. But like, at some point, you're going to realize that a lot of this advice that is out here in these conferences, in these books, it's coming from a hella fucking privileged place that is propped up by white supremacy. And so if we're not going to talk about the systemic oppression that has kept our communities from even making this kind of progress, if we're not going to talk about the mindset and the trauma and all the generational shit that we have to overcome to even be able to do something as scary as open an investment account or buy real estate or start a business, we're not really having conversations that matter. And time again, I see it where it's like, you can give people strategy. You can tell them exactly what to do. But if A, they don't believe that they are even worthy of claiming this, and B, they don't feel like they have mentors who they can actually trust because they have cultural competence and because they have a relatable experience, doesn't fucking matter how many times you tell them to go and open a Roth IRA. Doesn't matter. They're not going to do it. When, you know, people ask me like why this matters, that's why it matters. Because it's as much about the messenger as it is about the message. And the more that we have these conversations, the more that we normalize the fact that we are even worthy of having these conversations, that is how we change and that is how we move forward as a community. So my hope is that when folks listen to this and they find out the next time we're doing this event, maybe there's people who are movers and shakers in corporations or organizations that want to get behind this. It matters. And do not question your desire to attend these types of events. Do not second guess yourself. Make the investment, because literally the only guaranteed investment that we have in life is the investment that we make in ourselves. So I want to thank both of you for your candid words, for your support of the work that we're doing here. And again, if you guys want to get the virtual version of this experience, you want to share this with your friends and family, go ahead and head over to the show description. We'll have the link for you to join Our Money, Our Power, the virtual experience. It is lifetime access, and you get at least a little bit of the vibe. You know, it's not the same, because we were perreando in the conference room. We were dancing salsa, twerking on stage. Like, there was Bad Bunny playing. It was a whole fucking vibe.
Yes.
Okay. This is the only financial conference where there was perreo and Bad Bunny. I promise you, I will put my life on the line. Guarantee that shit ain't happening anywhere else. And, you know, I hope it's the first of many that we do. But I am excited to this year bring smaller events to the community, starting off with my book tour. So if you've always wanted to be in the Yo Quiero Dinero ecosystem and you're like, fuck, I missed OMOP, how can I get back? You know, how can I get that a little something? Make sure to sign up for our mailing list, because we're going to start sending out invitations to different cities. I already have Chicago, Miami, and New York City on the list. And we're planning on adding the West Coast to that and so many more places. So I'm super excited to see y'all. Make sure that you snatch up those tickets when they are announced. And just make sure that you continue to put yourself in spaces and places where people like you are having conversations that are elevated, that are empowering, and that most importantly encourage you to be the fucking poderosa that you are. Ladies, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Denise.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you are ready to take your dinero to the next level, sign up for our free 14-page guide, The Financially Lit Latina, the ultimate blueprint for becoming poderosa with your dinero. This 14-page guide includes our best tips on money mindset, budgeting, debt repayment, career, investing, financial independence, side hustles, and more. And you can get it completely free. So to get your copy of The Financially Lit Latina, just head over to YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com/start and start transforming your dinero story today. Until next time, stay empowered, stay inspired, and stay poderosa. On the Yo Quiero Dinero podcast and associated entities, all information provided is for general information purposes only and does not constitute accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice. Listeners should not act upon the content or information found here without first seeking appropriate advice from an accountant,
financial planner, lawyer, or other professional. We assume no responsibility for information contained on this podcast and associated entities, and disclaim all liability with respect to such information, including but not limited to any liability for errors, inaccuracies, omissions, or misleading or defamatory statements. Usage of this podcast and associated contents constitutes an explicit understanding and acceptance of the terms of this disclaimer.